Hey, good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Members, special guests, we're so glad all of you are here today. You guys want to sing with us this morning?
Yep.
We're fired up. Singers, band, we fired up this morning?
Yeah. Woo!
All right, so everybody stand. I know you guys all know this song. Sing it with me. Well, you are beautiful.
And good morning to everyone. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here. It is a delight and a joy to welcome you here and worship this morning. And what a beautiful day it is to take some time to focus upon Christ, focus upon His love and all that that love does within our lives. We want to especially thank our visitors for being here. And we want to extend a special welcome to you. We also want to encourage everyone to fill out the registration pads as they are passed to you so we can get a record of who's here this morning. And we have a few announcements that we'd like to share with you. Today at 1:30, we'll be having Stone Soup. It's at Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church. And we serve a hot and a great meal to our homeless brothers and sisters, sharing with them food and fellowship and love. And if you've never done it before, come out and give it a shot. It's a great opportunity to serve in the name of Christ to these folks. We also want to have a big thank you to all those that came out yesterday to help clean up some different areas of Asbury that needed some cleaning. So we appreciate all your help and all that was here yesterday that was done then. We also want to remind you that this Tuesday is beginning some fall classes. This Tuesday, August 30th at 6 p.m., we'll begin Reverend Mary's United Methodist Beliefs and Asbury Church History. We want to encourage those that have never really explored what the Methodist Church is about and their beliefs to take this class. That same date, August 30th on Tuesday, we'll begin my class on Jeremiah, and we'll be exploring through that great book. And if you've never explored that book, come give it a shot. I promise we'll be opening up our hearts and our minds to what that text will share with us. I also want to lift up that Wednesday, September 7th, we'll begin the men's class, and Sunday, September 11th, we'll begin the women's class. And so we want to invite you all to those classes. And your bulletins, you'll see a little tear-off sheet where you can check mark and put your name. We encourage you to do that and place it in the offering bag as it's passed to you later. With that, let us now stand and greet one another in the name of Christ. Thank you.
So children, why don't you come forward this morning? I think we got a special guest. We've got somebody in from out of town this morning, kids. A very special guest. Morning, Clark. Is that just a rumor, or do we have somebody visiting this morning?
I'm here.
No, we have we do have a guest. Who do you guys think it is that's going to visit with us this morning?
A puppet.
A puppet? Do you remember his name? No one remembers the puppet's name? Stuart Ship, right? So he's probably back there. So let me see if he's back there. Stuart, are you back there anywhere? Stuart? Maybe he could be sleeping. So let's do this. I'm going to do a 1, 2, 3, and you guys say, Stuart, real loud, okay? You ready? 1, 2, 3.
Stuart!
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, no. Stuart, are you okay?
Yeah, Clark. Listen, I was counting all the change we've collected from our Change for Change campaign.
Right.
I fell asleep, and I had this weirdest dream that I was eating some really terrible-tasting candy.
Oh, that's pretty bad, Stuart. You should never put money in your mouth like that.
I know that now.
Yeah. Hey, since we're wrapping up Change for Change, this is our final week, I thought you and I could take turns. We could remind the kids and the congregation about all the great missions and the wonderful things that Change for Change does.
Oh, so you mean like a Change for Change competition battle between you and me? Ha! Like a Change for Change off. I'm in. I hope you brought your A game there, Clark, because it's on.
Okay, settle down, Stuart. This is not like a competition. I was just thinking you and I could, go back and forth, cooperation.
Oh, sure, Clark. Don't worry. I won't be competitive about it at all or anything.
Okay.
Hang on a second.
Okay. What is he doing?
Okay, I'm much better now. Okay.
Wait a second. What are you wearing, Stuart?
Oh, that's my competition headband.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm going to start by mentioning a ministry that Change for Change supports. And then you say one and I'll say one. You got it?
I got a better idea. I'll start.
Okay.
Camp Aldersgate.
Okay, good one, Stuart. Now my turn. I'll say the Lydia Patterson Institute in El Paso, Texas.
World Service Fund.
Okay,
Africa,
now my turn.
University. Hendricks College. Philander Smith College. Pastors. Moving expenses. Mount Sequoia. SMU Campus Ministry. And wait. Ministerial Education Fund. Develop Church Leaders. Create New Churches, Ministry to the Poor, Fighting Malaria.
Wow, you're an overachiever. Take a breath there, Stuart.
Whew. Sorry, Clark. I just get fired up about all the good things that come from the Change for Change campaign. Just think about all the ways we are helping people in need and grow the church.
Very well said, Stuart. That's right.
Thanks. Listen, I guess this makes me the winner. Oh, also, I think I better start training for the Olympics in 4 years in Tokyo. Here I come, 2012. Aye!
Okay. Well, since you said all the ministry, Stuart, I'm going to pray for us, okay?
Okay, kids, let's
pray.
Let us
pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the gifts that we're able to share as part of the Change for Change campaign, and may this money go around the world and touch lives here locally and in places all around the world in need. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Yay!
Thank you, kids.
Thank you.
shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, just in his righteousness alone. Oh, that's to stand before the Lord.
Why don't you have a seat, please? I invite you now to look inside your bulletin at the prayer list and be in prayer for all those that are listed. That's there for you to take throughout your week and to be praying for those names. And we, of course, want to pray for those that were involved in the earthquake and still struggling in the floods in Louisiana. And so now, let us all bow our heads and our hearts before God. You walked this very earth, and you loved people. You freed people. You taught people, gave them renewed life and hope in your name. You still cry out for us to respond, be a part of helping to change this world into the kingdom of God, the kingdom built upon unconditional love, peace that passes all understanding, faith and hope, courage and strength, all centered around prayer and actively living our lives in dedication to you, O God. We come into this worship space as your people, people that struggle, people that have pain and grief in their life, people that aren't sure what tomorrow will bring, people that don't know what to do anymore, searching for answers, looking for hope, wondering where you are. Reveal yourself to us, God. Help us to feel and experience your love again as it renews and gives us strength and ability and encouragement to face this world, to live as you have called us to live as your children. Be with all those that are in devastation by natural tragedies. Be with all those hurt and pain by violence. Lord, we are a people that must come together under your name, and we are called to do great things in your name. Help us to believe and have faith that you're present and that you will never, ever leave us alone. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. As I said earlier, we want to let you know that we have stone soup later today, and we're encouraging many of you to go there and help participate in cooking and offering a meal to these folks that don't have a whole lot. And we know that you'll be able to share love and grace to them, and that you also will experience love and grace from them. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, sometimes we're not sure what to give, how to give, where it's going to come from. What really matters is that we show you that we're faithful, that we show you that you are the center of our life, and that we revolve around your love. We want to pour out and help give support to help share love with Little Rock, Arkansas, our country, and our world. Help us to know that even if we give a little bit, it will go and make a difference. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We now turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Boring, mundane, ordinary, usual, average, simple. That's what Doug loved. He didn't like anything getting in the way of his ordered day-to-day life. And when things got in the way of his orderly day-to-day life, he felt the stress and tension rush in. Doug wasn't necessarily a people person. He didn't really like people because they made things messy. They complicated things, and everything became murkier when you have to tend to other people. They tend to slow the process of a day down. And year after year, his ordered life, he would try to keep very, very the same, even at the expense of his friends and family, to the point where at his funeral, it was him and the preacher. Now, thankfully, Doug is not a real person. Doug is made up. But I believe we fear becoming like a Doug. We fear having no one at our funeral, no one we impacted, making no real connection with a person. We also fear growing to old age and looking back and having regrets that we didn't live our life and made it worth living. And maybe we squandered it. And we fear change. And that's kind of the problem. We fear that because it can take us out of control. Something we can't really handle, and we want to make sure we have it, everything in our life in a box that we understand, that follows the plan, that goes about as it's supposed to. And when change enters the equation, everything might be undone. But look around us. Change happens so often. If we would just notice, it's right before our eyes. Of course, the seasons change, but sometimes we're not even aware of the season we're in because we haven't taken the time, taken a moment to focus and really enjoy the moment and cherish it. We also change, of course, in our age. We change in our age where sometimes we may not be in tune with who we are and what's really going on in life, and several years have gone by and you don't know what happened. You're lost. And you remember the miracle as a child when you saw the metamorphosis of a caterpillar to a butterfly. True magic. Change. The essence of the Christian life is to change. And there's two types of change. There's the circumstantial and humanly change that comes our way. And then there's the spiritual change, where the love of God grows in our hearts in such a way that it wakes us up to do incredible things in God's name. That it changes our minds to become more wise, more discerning about how to use our gifts and abilities to further the kingdom of God. How our relationship with Christ grows deeper and richer. That's the type of change that Christ wants with us. I remember when a family friend of ours gifted us a magnolia tree plant. That was 15 years ago. And now it's huge. And guess what? It bears fruit. My mother will go out and cut the flowers, place it in a bowl, and the fragrance will filter through all the house. So when we look at the scripture that we read this morning about seeds being tossed on the ground, what kind of seed does Christ want us to be? One that grows strong. One that bears fruit. Some Christian denominations focus primarily and wholeheartedly on the confession moment. It says, I love Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I want my sins forgiven. I have my faith in you, Christ. And yet they stop. The Christian life is about that and so much more. It's about every day of the Christian journey growing more and more in the love of God. Isn't that why you're here this morning? To grow more and more in love with God, become closer and closer with Jesus Christ? I hope it's not just to socialize. I hope it's not just to make friends or get free donuts and coffee. We have gathered in this sacred space, setting aside this time to worship a God we love and want to grow closer to. And what it takes to change within our spirits is first a hungry heart. Our heart must hunger and thirst and desire to be closer to God. It hungers because we know of that initial grace we experienced that made us feel that God loved us immensely, unconditionally. And that I want more and more and more. Did you know that there are hungry children in Arkansas. Children that go without food. And yet, politicians yammer on and on about whatever. That's a crisis. And it's our task as the church to stand up and ensure that every child gets fed a meal and gets extra. Because we have received God's grace and we have received more than we could ever imagine. And we must bless others with that same love and dedication. But it doesn't end just there with feeding the hungry, feeding the physically hungry. There are so many in our country that are starving from the depths of their soul for spiritual food. They're wandering. They may not know it. They may not understand how to really put words to it, but they're in some sort of wilderness, being led by the Americana dream of more money, more fame, this way, this way. But our Christian life says to love, says to hope, says to embrace the hand of brothers and sisters and stand together with them where they're not alone. They're not alone. Our hungry hearts want more, don't they? We yearn for more of God's presence. But we also know that we're realistic about the challenges, difficulties, and problems of life. And that's where a patient approach comes. There were some folks in the Bible that had to wander 40 years in the wilderness before they encountered their own personal milk and honey experience. They felt dry. They felt distant. They felt lost. But then they found their way by God. I'm the last person that wants to deal with patience. But we have to be patient means to endure what life throws at us. When we hear of dear folks passing away like Phil McCarty or Gene Casey or Stephen Ed's nephew, we want to cry and we want to grieve and we want to mourn with them as Jesus cried, grieved, and mourned with the loss of his friends. And our patient approach with our hungry heart will lead us in the grief to cry out for peace and hope, faith. Time, one step in front of the other, gets us closer to being more like Christ. This past week, I was with a bunch of clergy, and we had this professor give us a little example about mindfulness. Mindfulness is kind of like meditation. And so you can imagine all these clergy in the room who all love to talk, having to sit in the quiet for 20 minutes, silent. Some of you thinking, no way. And it's difficult for everyone because when we get quiet and we shut out the fast-paced world that we're so used to being a part of, our minds race. And we have this thought and that thought, and 1,000 other thoughts going in different directions. But he asked us to allow the thoughts to just go. And then he would begin to talk and guide us. And he shared about having the person you love more in this entire world right in front of you. And to say to them in your mind why you love them. And then, shortly after that, he asked us to imagine in front of us a person we despise, a person we hate, and find a little bit of love somewhere there. Now he said, now you may have to go all the way back to when they were a baby in order to find that love, an innocent. But think about how that might shape how we view others. If our mind is with Christ, then it'll help us grow. Help us see others as children of God. And that'll help us know how to act towards others. With our hearts that are hungry, with our patient spirit, and with our focused mind, we lead to the most difficult surrender. Giving all we are over to God. That means taking all that we are, all of the complexities, all of the connections with family, friends, job, housing, money. Focusing it all upon Christ, and that Christ would impact each aspect of our lives, where we give it all up. Because to give it all up is to follow the Christian path. To give it all up is to grow deeper in the love of God. And that's what we're here to do. And we journey on that path together. And we journey on that path knowing that God sees incredible potential in you. God created us each in the image of God. And that is for a purpose, that is for a reason, that is vitally critical for us to know deep within ourselves about why. Because God wants to work with us. God wants to partner with us. That's why God has struggled so much in wanting to get this humanity to work in the ways of love with God. Don't you want to be a large magnolia tree bearing fruit, sharing with others? For you are a seed growing, and you want to nourish what God has given to you, and to nourish it well, to put one step in front of the other of the Christian path, following Christ. That's why we're here. And we do it together, holding each other along the way and knowing that Christ is beside us, Christ is before us, Christ is behind us, Christ is under us, Christ is above us, and Christ is in us. And nothing can be too big of an obstacle for you to overtake when Christ is within you and you're growing into that great big plant. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing song. There are those who'd like to come forward to unite with our congregation, to reaffirm your faith, have some time of prayer, or to join the life of our church. We'll welcome you forward at this time. Choose this day as a new beginning that from this day forward, you will desire to grow deeper and deeper in love with God and to allow that love to transform you from the inside, that you might be an example to others, transform others by God's grace, and help change this world into a loving, accepting, and peaceful place. Amen.